Of them, 10,000 yards away and closing in. The battleship captain's order full about. Slow as they are, dodging should be no trouble at this distance, but then somebody on one of the U.S. battleships looks up, and the attacking destroyers are vanishing. I said the attacking destroyers are disappearing. One at a time, they're disappearing into what is it out there, fog? No, it's smoke. Smoke being generated by the destroyers themselves. And by the time everybody aboard the battleship realizes what's going on, the attacking squadron is completely obscured by its own smog. And then, as the smoke rolls in closer to within 700 yards of the battleships, the destroyers suddenly emerge and open fire, and there is no way to evade the torpedoes at this range. One of them slams into the USS Texas. The engine room is crushed. All circuit breakers are blown, crippling the ship's electrical gear. Two more torpedoes strike the USS Mississippi. Her screws gone, she circles helplessly. Then the flagship, the USS New Mexico, shell plating ripped apart, lower lockers flooding as the torpedoes continue knifing through the water. Only the USS Idaho is spared in the attack because of her position behind the sister ships. But this is not a victory for the enemy. I said this is not a victory for the enemy because there is no enemy involved. And that is the rest of the story. The squadron of destroyers that attacked those four U.S. battleships was also a part of our own United States fleet. This was a peacetime exercise. In the spring of 1921, it was a practice maneuver off the coast of California, and a commander named Willie was put in charge of the tin cans and was told to pursue the battleships. There's always been rivalry between destroyer and battleship personnel anyway. He was given three divisions of destroyers and three dozen dummy torpedoes, torpedoes with soft noses and accentuated warheads. Shouldn't be able to do any real harm with them, but since nobody issued Willie any rules by which to play these war games, he made up some of his own. He thought up the smoke screen all by himself so that he could stalk the battleships unseen and pounce on them at close range. But then the problem was his dummy torpedoes had been prepared for much longer range, and Willie wound up inflicting more than $1.5 million worth of damage in less than a minute and a half, nearly sinking three of his own Navy's battleships. Yes, he was severely reprimanded. Even threatened with court-martial. But you know, when the Second World War hit the open seas, the United States Navy used Willie's improvised smokescreen tactic, and with remarkable success. And the American lives that were spared thereby owed what was left of them to the 38-year-old squadron commander who invented the tactic in 1921 and went on to become admiral and commander of the South Pacific Fleet in World War II and to be awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. William Frederick Halsey. Bull Halsey? Bull Halsey. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
All right, we're back. I was getting a lesson on conspiracy theories because I am going to make a bold prediction that at least one of Darsh's conspiracy theories will come true in 2026.
Hear, hear. Thank you, Kenny.
But let's go before
Are you gonna
we
say
finish.
Which one?
No. I don't think it was any of the ones that we were just talking about.
There's numerous ones I've been told.
Let's finish up with 2025 because we talked about the best. What was the worst? What were the worst things in 2025?
Well, I think best, we didn't quite finish some of the best, but I do think that on a national level, having President Trump in office, in the Oval Office, making the executive orders hopefully getting those into legislation and having starting to have a country where law and order is actually being followed. And that, in my opinion, I think President Trump is one of the most constitutional presidents we've had. That it's if people have issues with whether it's ICE enforcement or whether, and we've had that locally, whether it's the school systems, whether it's resources, the financial institutions, I believe that he's trying to restore America to where we are once again a powerful country that has the ability to generate resources, to be energy independent, and to be have abundance. We'll call it abundance. So I believe that that can happen, and I believe that what he is doing and putting in place is getting us in that direction and starting to turn things back around. So when I have objections from people saying that I'm whatever, that
a conspirator
and or a sowing seeds of theorist? Doubt and misinformation and all of those things concerning mostly the elections. And
I just think you ask interesting questions.
Of course, because I not only am I curious, but when things don't add up, we have to ask more questions. Why doesn't this add up? Why doesn't this make sense?
Well, this is,
and use discernment.
So this is where I'm going to really go out on a limb, and I'm going to predict that some of Darsha's predictions or conspiracy theories on the elections, I think, are probably going to be proven true. And if you're following the news out of Atlanta, Georgia, the last couple of days.
Fulton County, the county elections, that the gift that keeps on giving. What happened in Fulton County, Danny?
Well, basically, the Fulton County, which is Atlanta, is in a lawsuit right now. I forgot the guy's name. Ross, I think, is the person that brought the suit. But in the trial yesterday, the lawyer for Fulton County basically says, we don't dispute the allegation. The admission came during a hearing before the Georgia State Election Board, where attorney Ann Brimbaugh, representing Fulton County Board of Registration and Elections, said the county does not dispute the allegations. That basically there were 315,000 votes that were cast illegally, essentially. They didn't follow any of the procedures. They didn't monitor the chain of custody properly. They didn't monitor the
Shocking.
Machines.
This is also where the suitcases came from underneath the table and ballots were run through, where they were supposedly stopping the count because there was a huge water system and a water break, and it came down to basically being a leaking faucet.
So this article, it says the Election Integrity activist David Cross, who filed a challenge in 2022, obtained records showing 134 tabulator tapes from early voting representing about 315,000 votes with completely blank signature blocks. So none of the ballots were signed. The 2024 investigation by the Georgia Secretary of State's office substantiated that 36 out of 37 advanced voting precincts in Fulton County failed to sign the required tabulation tapes. Same investigation found that officials at 32 polling sites also failed to verify zero tapes, which basically means they confirm that scanners started at zero. So a lot of this stuff that people were being locked up for and fired for in 2021, 2022 is coming to fruition. It was discussed earlier. I listened to part of it on when I was plowing my fields this morning, listening to Clay and Buck's show. But, Travis brought up an interesting point that it's not necessarily, you can't undo the election, but it's going to call into a question the legitimacy of a lot of the laws that were passed by the Biden administration, particularly because you had
you had
the two senators from Georgia,
Warnock and
Ossoff, that defeated Loeffner and Perdue. But if you had this many questionable ballots, 315,000, Trump lost Georgia by 11,000 votes, and Kelly Loeffler and Perdue, they had to go into a runoff because neither one of them had the 50%. So they were all very close elections, because of mishandling, whether through omission or commission, of these ballots, you know, Biden had two senators and controlled the House and the Senate.
Well, and it's even worse than that, because you had DeKalb County, and that was where one person, I think her last name was Longspear, and they ended up, I didn't think we'd go into this today, but it's just a remarkable case where she was running for city council or something, and she and her husband went in and voted in their precinct, and presumably she voted for herself and he voted for her. They would have at least two votes in the precinct. And when the election night results came out, there were zero votes for her in her precinct. Mm-hmm. So she looks at her husband and she knows what she voted for. And she says, wait a minute, this can't be right. They end up doing a recount and come to find out that all three people in that race, the person who was named as being in first place, actually ended up in third place, and she ended up in first place, and all three had incorrect numbers that were considered as the election night results. So that was one where it was clearly manipulation of the election. They said that it was a glitch, so it didn't explain what actually had happened. And then there's another case that continues to come forward where there are 19,000 ballot images that have disappeared. They're nowhere in sight. And so the results were skewed by 19,000 that they cannot present evidence for. So these cases in Georgia keep coming forward, because remember, that was one of the reasons why Trump was impeached, right, was because of the phone call down to Raffensperger, who was the Secretary of State, saying, are you sure that you have all of the votes counted? And are you sure that there's not 12,000 votes somewhere? And that was taken to mean that Trump was looking for votes and trying to skew the results, and that's why he was impeached.
Yeah, to continue on the Georgia topic, I don't know if you heard Fat Fannie Willis yesterday. I think it was a couple days ago, but she was called in front of this hearing in the Georgia State Legislature and just went off, had a complete meltdown. And my family still lives in, I still have family in Georgia, but they send me snippets, and some of the things that are interesting is her boyfriend, the one that
was paid hundreds of thousands of dollars,
he apparently charged the Fulton County DA's office for multiple trips to Washington, D.C. To meet with the White House days before Jack Smith was brought in to be the special prosecutor, and whoever the number two under Garland, I forgot his name, that went off to work at the New York DA's office.
The Southern District.
Not the federal office, but the district attorney there, okay, that went after Trump. But all this happened within two or three days of one another in 2022. And so a lot of this is coming out in testimony now. So it's on record. So Darsha's
say shocking. Why am I not surprised? Here.
I'm not saying you're right on everything, though. A lot of your stuff is still kind of out there.
Well, that does lead into a couple more of the best, I'll say, because I do think that the January 6ers, that
you know, we never talked about the bomber.
Weaponized.
we never really talked about the bomber, January 5th bomber. I found that very interesting as well. And you notice how that's completely, you can't find anything about that guy in the news anymore.
That's why I say when it just doesn't add up, when it doesn't make sense, well, that no, they can spend millions of dollars tracking down the grandmother that was wearing the same shirt as someone else in the audience on January 6th, but they can't seem to locate the January 5th pipe bomber at the Republican Party and the Democratic Party headquarters dropping off a pipe bomb. But it just...
I enjoyed the media's efforts to make him out to be
suspends belief.
To make him out to be a Trump supporter. And that lasted for maybe an hour. They got a couple lines out over the internet, and then, okay, nobody's buying that.
I'll say locally that the defeat of BG-13, Bruce Gibson 13, and the Water Pirates by the people holding off the Paso Groundwater, the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority was one of the, I don't know, that was just a huge victory of the people here locally. And just a thank you to all the people that were involved in getting the word out and getting people activated to recognize that this board, this Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority, was trying to put a tax on their property taxes to pay for their maladministration of funds that would then come from, everyone would have to pay for these administrative functions and doing more studies and testing and studies and studies of studies, and essentially not solving the problem. If there was a problem with the Paso Robles Water Basin, not solving the problem. It was all about monitoring and all about doing more studies. And the whole alarm was that, oh, well, the state might come in, and the state is already here. So congratulations to the people of the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Basin. Awesome job. Nice job at that successful Proposition 218 protest. So that is where the people were able to successfully determine who was going to be in their government, what funds were going to go toward the government. So great job, everybody. Also, we had a successful defeat of the offshore wind farms. That was going to be a huge debacle. And anytime where things don't make sense, follow the money. What's the Latin saying? Que bono. Who benefits? Mm-hmm. So keep looking. Who benefits? Of the worst, let's go to the worst. I think one of the worst things statewide, the Palisades, Altadena wildfires. And I use that in air quotes, wildfires. I think that there were the Charlie Kirk assassination. We talked about that briefly. I have my own opinions about that, but I think that was one of the worst of 2025. And anytime we have the worst, understand that I'm a very optimistic person, and I think that anytime we have something that is the worst, that it can be turned and used for good, and that that was a wake-up call to a lot of people. Same with the fires. That was a wake-up call to Trump and to the nation, that you had Gavin Newsom, who was down there saying, okay, we're going to rebuild. This is going to be great and wonderful. And how many people have actually been able to rebuild? How many people have actually gotten permits to rebuild? It's
Yeah, there was
15.
There was a lady that was interviewed the other day. I think, again, it was on the Clay and Travis show. I've been listening to a lot of Clay and Travis on my tracker. But she was out of the Los Angeles area, and she says if you drive through the burn area, she said almost every lot is up for sale now, and it's basically because the city, the municipal governments there, will not issue the permits to rebuild, or if they have, the costs are prohibitive now.
Yeah, and we flew over it not even a month after the fires, and it was unbelievable, the destruction. It was down to the ground. There wasn't more than a foot high of where the footprint of the house was. Interestingly enough, there are still some trees standing and things, but the house itself was all the way down to the ground. I, conspiracy theory, think that there are some other possibilities that happened there, and that there was the powers that ought not be have decided that that's a place where they want to have rebuilding of a certain different type of structures.
And yeah, the low-income housing there. But, you know, just when I look at how much revenue must have been lost from the coffers for the city and the county there, because those houses, once they're destroyed, they get reassessed down to the bare dirt. So I see this as a catastrophe, not just for the families who are probably going to lose. And that, I mean, that's generational wealth that was just taken away from them.
I have a client that had family that was there and burned to the ground.
Yeah. But the revenue the tax revenue that's being lost for LA County, I mean, they're already, who knows how far deep down the hole, but.
Well, truthfully, just about every county, every city, every board, the state of California, from a financial standpoint, is in an insolvency position. So we can talk about what we think is going to happen in 2026, but it's they're looking for money in every single pocket that you have, Kenny.
Well, they're going to have to look a lot. They're going to have to look all over the place.
What's the flag? Come and get it.
My worst for 2025, I would say probably the top for me was the fires in January, and then looking at the violence, Charlie Kirk, the school shooting in Minneapolis. When I look at the shootings in particular, it gives me a lot of concern over 2026 and potential violence for the Utica. All right, we're going to take a short break on that happy note, and we'll be right back.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks finishing higher as a rebound in technology shares gain momentum. Megacap tech stocks extending gains from Thursday when chipmaker Micron Technology's strong forecast reignited optimism in the AI trade. AI-related stocks have come under pressure of late over lofty valuations and funding concerns. Micron stock rose again today over 7%. And Oracle shares jumped over 7% after China's ByteDance signed deals to create a U.S. TikTok joint venture, including Oracle, which has had a turbulent week. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, and NVIDIA. The Dow decliners, Home Depot, Nike, and Sherwin-Williams. The Dow rising 183 points. The Nasdaq higher by 301. S&P 500 up 60. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity Podcast.
2025 is wrapping up, and here's the truth. Uncertainty isn't going anywhere. Noble Gold Investments help you protect what you've built with real gold and silver, stuff that holds value when everything else is melting down. This holiday season, the best gift you can give your family? Peace of mind. Don't wait for the next crash to blindside you. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com and get started today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Don't leave the future to chance. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Hello from the Groves on 41, where olive oil is our favorite subject.
Yes, and we are seeing an increasing awareness of the health benefits of olive oil, not just for your heart, but your brain and your skin, too. I'm drinking it. Consuming more olive oil is easy with our crazy flavors, like cinnamon, raspberry, rosemary, and more. You could have olive oil for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and dessert.
Schedule a tasting and tour at the Groves on 41, or visit us at a farmer's market Saturday mornings in Templeton, Tuesday mornings in Paso, and want to learn more? Go to thegrovesonforty1.com.
We see you sitting there, daydreaming about a place where infinite horizons mean more freedom. Well, at Chumash Casino Resort, we're giving away over $500,000 in cash and prizes. Everything you need to find yourself elsewhere. Drawing Sundays in December. Need more details? Visit ChumashCasino.com. And hey, welcome to freedom. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. All right, North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
We're covering other conspiracy theories, which I do not think are going to get proven true in 2026.
I know, Kenny, but here's where I go with it. The 2020 election is not over. And how or where or why or all of those W's it gets restored, I don't know. But I'm just saying that what has happened over the last, I'll even say 20 years, but we'll just start with the last 5 years, that what has transpired, that there are a lot of things that don't add up, a lot of things that don't make sense. And I'm hoping at some point in time that we can all look back and go, wow, I didn't really know that that was going on. Now I know. And once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. And then what happens is you have some responsibility to do something about it. And I think where people get really frustrated, even with local issues, state issues, wherever it might be, that if you don't know what to do about it, even if you are concerned, it's very frustrating. And so people say, well, if I go to a school board meeting, then I'm going to know about it, and then I'm going to have to do something about it, and I don't know what to do about it. I just know that it's not right. So I'm encouraging people to be willing to take the approach that they want to know. And I believe that one of the best things that can happen, that has happened in 2025, is that more people are recognizing how far astray we have gone and where we need to get back to: family values, country values, God in our families, and our community, and build that community. So here we are at KPRL. I thank Kevin, Will, and Kenny for having us on the air, and for all of the listeners and contributors to KPRL. And there, we had a call that was calling in. Please call right back, and we'll try to pick that up as soon as we can. We've had extensive training on the phone board here, right, Kenny?
Yep. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, tell Darcia to answer the phone.
She was talking.
I was looking at the red light blinking. How are you, Greg? What do you think for 2025?
Merry Christmas to both of you.
Merry Christmas.
Kenny, I was October 1978 at Mandeville Canyon Pacific Palisades in Malibu. The same fire as 47 years ago.
In the same area?
Yeah. We always know that the Santa Ana's blow from around November to January. It's a kind of a regular thing.
And somewhat predictable?
It shouldn't be unexpected. There should have been pre-deployment. There should have been all kinds of stuff. The reservoir shouldn't have been empty. You go on and on. But you got to look at the management of the city and what their outcome really is to be. But, just a little update. I went to the Atascadero Basin GSA meeting two nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to see how they ran their thing compared to the guys that think they're the water authority over the Paso Basin. There's seven people on this board. There's one that actually could answer water questions. The other, I'm not saying they're not nice, but they don't really know anything about water. They're considered a low-priority basin. I brought up the fact that they were considered a low-priority basin, or their amount of water has never changed. It's what's called the safe yield from 2006. And how could it still be that they were 95% in 2006? How could they still be 95% 20 years later?
Yeah.
And brought up all the growth and the different vineyards and the different things that were happening that happened in the Paso Basin that they need to look out for. And the same, you got the same carousel of consultants that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars. You got the same things. And the, one of the main things is the Salinas River and the Salinas Reservoir as far as the recharge water. But
and
it, was an interesting, it was an interesting...
and Greg, thank you. A thousand thank yous from everyone that is the Paso Robles Water Basin, concerned with the Paso Robles Water Basin, because, Greg, you've been involved in this lawsuit for years and years and years, and involved in the water in this county for 20 years. And KPRL listeners know your voice, know what you have to say, and that you have the documentation and the proof that says, listen, this is 6 years ago. Here's what you said then. Here's what you're saying now. It doesn't, you know, again, when they doesn't add up. So
well, yeah, I pointed out, I said, well, there's two people on this board that also represent the Paso Basin, GSA. There's four people on this board that are Nacimiento Water Partners. There's four people on this board that are defendants in the Quiet Title lawsuit, and you guys haven't done anything. In fact, John Hammond asked John Neal, hey, how much water of Nazi did you take this last year? He says, oh, we didn't take any. We haven't taken any in 4 years. You know, so they're all paying to participate in this $200 million pipe that they built, that nobody uses the water, and then they cry about supplemental water.
Well, and then they have to keep repairing it.
Right.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a whole nother thing is, even if you wanted to use it, the pipe's already been fixed like seven or eight times. Is it functional? Is it not functional? What are they doing? And but it all boils down to what you were talking about earlier. It's the cost. So an acre foot of Nacimiento water that's cleaned and treated and ready to use ends up being about $3,000 an acre foot. Pumped water from the basin is about $300 an acre foot. Same with the state water. So the reason they don't use it is because they don't want to spend the money to use it. It's not because it's not available, and that they could operate without even pumping anything from the basin if they just use that water.
So Greg, what's your prediction for the water war going into 2026?
Well, the thing I'm pursuing right now, working with the Department of Water Resources, is the fact that they used grant money to fund a lot of the things they did with that 218 vote Darsha was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That was not an eligible cost that you could use grant money for. So I want those hundreds of thousands of dollars back. I want them to pay a penalty, and I want these people removed.
So when they were doing rate studies to determine how much to charge the people that are overliers in the Paso Water Basin, whether or not they were irrigated agriculture, non-irrigated ag, de minimis users, they were spending hundreds of thousands of dollars of legal and administrative fees and consultants to do a rate study to determine how much to charge people.
Correct. So yeah. The and I asked the DWR, do you look at these receipts that they send in when they get reimbursed? And they just see a consultant's name that's already working on something else, and they go, well, not really. So they got an attorney they paid $75,000 to. She just happens to be the county's attorney that is in the quiet title action. So she was doing legal things. But you know, and some of the people, they would never answer the allegations or questions that were raised that was part of this process also on that they run the 218 process correctly and Howard Jarvis wrote letters to them on our behalf with 28 legal objections to the way they did the process. But this whole thing on the grant money is because we got copies of the grant application and the agreement, and it specifically says you cannot use any of this grant money to form another board to carry out SGMA compliance.
Was it a state grant?
Yes, it's through the Department of Water Resources.
And go ahead and name names, Greg. Do you think there's one particular name that keeps coming up anytime it has to do with the water situation?
Oh, yeah. Mr. 13. Yeah, Bruce Gibson. Yeah, it's amazing how the people that are involved, because I go back to 2000. You know, all the same entities have been claiming they were going to do something since the prior agreement 2005, and so on and on and on and on. All the same consultants doing study after study after study. And then you say, okay, what have you actually done? I was reading the other day, you can read three or four articles a week on the grape industry and the wine industry, and the values of the vineyard land now have dropped 40%.
Well, I know I live out between Hog Canyon and Ranchita Canyon.
The hill country.
And the hillbilly country. Two vineyards that are adjacent to my ranch are up for sale. And they both contacted me asking if I'm interested in grapes. And I politely say, no, thank you. I'll take your dirt.
Yep. Yeah, if you can feed wild hogs or something. Yeah. There's thousands of acres out in the Shandon area.
Yeah, if you drive down, when I go to church out in Shandon, all along the Australia, you can see they've probably taken several hundred acres out on Ranchita Canyon. I think that land used to be owned by Harvard. They've taken...
That's now the Canadian Pension.
The Canadian
Trust.
Pension.
Right. So if you go out Tuesday through Shandon area, you'll see all these acres, and all the grapes are still there. They didn't harvest anything.
Yeah. And I suspect there are going to be more properties up for sale, but it looks to me like the problem is self-correcting as these vineyards are pulled out.
Well, that was part of the issue too, because you know some of this legal action that started with the quiet title was because of the imposed planning ordinance that the county thought that they could do. See, they couldn't do a water ordinance; they don't have land use authority over water. They can claim whatever they want to claim. So that's why the quiet title action, because they were not following the California Constitution of the beneficial use. And so, you know, they're one of the defendants in the lawsuit. They just canceled. Well, we have one lawsuit left. It's going to be in August. So Templeton's pulled out, Tascadero Water Mutual's pulled out, and the county of San Luis Obispo's pulled out. All that's left is the city of Paso Robles and San Miguel that think that they have some kind of rights from 175 years ago from the Spanish. So I'm sure there was wells everywhere. 175 years ago, they didn't use any water from the Salinas River.
Greg.
That was too easy to get to. So, but this just shows that they're willing to, you know, waste the taxpayers' money, spend OPM, other people's money, on their pipe dreams to just kick the can down the road because they don't want to really do what they have to do. It was amazing, too. You know, the city of Atascadero does the waste, and Atascadero Water Mutual does the water. They can't meet the requirements to dumping their waste in the river. It's too dirty. Well, Paso Robles dumps all their waste in the river also, which would be the same dirty because they both got 30-something thousand people. And most of the water that Paso uses comes from the Atascadero subbasin. So their population is dependent on the Atascadero subbasin, not the Paso Robles basin. So there's all these little intricacy things that come out in this that they don't want anybody to really look at when you put these annual reports together. And now that there's so many of them, but an individual has to look, why do they have this on this page?
Hey, Greg,
and 8 pages later, you get the other part of it.
We have another call that we'll go to, but Greg, thank you for continuing to bring this up. And in 2026, we want to hear more.
Hey, thank you very much, and both of you, Merry
Christmas.
Thanks
for your hard work.
Kenny,
Merry Christmas.
If I have a bull that won't do his job, I take him to the sale.
That's right.
Thanks,
Greg. Yeah, he doesn't get to play with the cows.
Bye, Greg. And welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Darsha. I know that you know a lot about the California Public Records Access Laws, and you appreciate this, but you know, Carl Olson from the First Amendment Coalition was out here assisting the Tribune in their lawsuit.
With Chris Bausch. And yes, there is the music. Go ahead and make your statement, and we'll catch it on the other side.
Okay. Well, the point is that Carl Olson went down in flames. Chris Bausch scored a huge victory and saved the taxpayers here about $750,000. And so far, nobody's given him any credit, and he's become, you know, the subject of a personal vendetta by the mayor.
And
that's
you
a
just
good news
did.
Story.
Thank you.
At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Need inspiration for holiday gifts? Let the Blenders be your Santa's helper this season. From beautiful scarves, cozy sweaters, jackets, vests, lovely handbags, wallets, and fantastic accessories, gift certificates available too. Thank you for your support of our local businesses. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram for holiday hours. Merry Christmas and happy holidays from the Blenders, 538 12th Street, downtown Paso Robles.
Wesley with Stove and Spa Center. It's finally getting cool and we don't want to leave you out in the cold. Stove and Spa Center has a great selection of stoves, inserts, and fireplaces to get you warm and cozy in your house this winter. Don't miss savings on freestanding stoves, gas inserts, and fireplaces. How would you like being warmer this winter and save money too? It's possible with a fireplace insert from Cozy Heat. Cozy Heat's highly efficient gas inserts and fireplaces come in many styles to fit any home's decor. Save big on Cozy Heat fireplaces and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's Big Autumn Sale. All products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com. Say big on Cozy Heat fireplaces and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's Big Autumn Sale going on right now. Don't miss out on all the special offers at Stove and Spa Center. 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero between Curb Rail and Moore Roads.
Holidays are just around the corner, and if your family is coming to town, give them the gift of comfort and beauty at Allegretto Vineyard Resort in Paso Robles. From vineyard views to luxurious rooms, festive dining, and special holiday celebrations, Allegretto is the perfect home away from home, so your family doesn't overrun yours. Make this holiday season memorable and welcome your loved ones with the warmth of Paso Robles hospitality. Book now at AllegrettoVineyardResort.com.
All right, we're back. Last few minutes. Call in 238-5775. We're gonna go right into the big predictions for 2026.
And I had mentioned that I was going to play a clip for everyone. So this is one that came across different social media and Telegram and Truth Social. And I think even President Trump put this out on Truth Social, having to do with a color revolution. So describing what a color revolution is, and that's where we are right here, right now. And we're going to use this as a lead in to Kenny, and I say that it's related to elections, and Kenny, your history in the military in South America. So we'll play this clip, and it kind of starts out, it says, "You've now heard," and we'll go right into it.
Political experts over and over refer to the fact that what we're witnessing is a color revolution, and they're right. And let me explain why. A color revolution is a communist globalist playbook to take over a country without tanks actually rolling down Main Street. It's how they flipped places like Serbia, Georgia, Ukraine, and they tried to flip a dozen others. The same exact playbook every single time. This is how they do it. One, they demonize the leader of the people who they actually voted for. Two, they flood the country with chaos like riots, open borders, economic pain. Three, they weaponize the courts, the media, and big tech to finish him off. And four, they install a puppet who sells the country out to China and the UN. And that's not theory, that's the manual. They opened it on us in the United States the day Donald Trump won in 2016. And here's how they ran it on us step by step. From 2016 to 2020, they gave us the Russia collusion hoax, FBI spying, two fake impeachments, Antifa burning cities while CNN called it fiery but mostly peaceful, and the goal was to make you hate the guy you voted for. In 2020, we had 2 a.m. ballot dumps, boarded up windows, 51 Intel agents lying about Hunter's laptop, Zuckerberg dropping $400 million to help count votes in Democrat cities, and the goal there was to steal the election while calling you a conspiracy theorist for noticing. From 2021 to 2024, we had Joe Biden opening the border on day one, 12 million plus illegals, military age men from China and Venezuela and all over the world, free flights, free hotels, free EBT cards, all on your dime. Cities collapse, crime explodes, schools and hospitals break. The goal, to make Americans feel like strangers in their own country. Then from 2021 to 2025, 91 felony charges, Mar-a-Lago raided, gag orders, mug shots. They didn't want to just beat Trump. They wanted to break him and every future patriot who dares to run. Look at what they did to Charlie Kirk. That is a textbook color revolution. But on November 5th, 2024, the American people looked this Marxist coup dead in the eye and said, not today. 312 electoral votes, popular vote landslide, the biggest Hispanic and Black Republican turnout ever. We pulled off the greatest peaceful counter-revolution in world history. But the deep state isn't done. The same snakes who funded BLM riots, Ukraine coup, and Arab Spring still sit in the FBI, CIA, big tech, and the universities. They'll try again in 2026 or in 2028, but now you know the game. Every time you see another mostly peaceful riot, sudden experts all using the same scripted words, a new crisis 2 weeks before an election, you're watching the color revolution playbook live on American soil. Never forget what they tried to do to us. Back mass deportations. If we have no border, we have no country. Protect every America First fighter willing to swing the axe on the swamp. Teach your kids the truth. Communism didn't die in 1991. It just dyed its hair purple and moved to Washington. This is still the United States of America. We are still the home of the brave, and the brave do not bow to color revolutions. Recognize what is happening, stare it in the face, speak out against it, and then we finish taking our country back, one closed border, one drained swamp, and one restored republic at a time. We need to support our president in taking all necessary measures to do just that. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Pay attention. Do this ancient Chinese exercise daily.
Darsha's doing ancient Chinese exercises. But so as we go into 2026, my biggest prediction is going to be, I think Maduro's got a couple of weeks left before he's ousted. And I don't think it's going to require boots on the ground or even any sort of kinetic military strikes by the U.S. military. I think it's going to be an implosion because when you look at the way Trump is going about it, Trump has always been a master at understanding that you have four facets of power for any nation: diplomatic, information, military, and economic. And Trump is basically using the threat of military, but really it's the economic and the informational and the diplomatic that are going to take down Maduro. you know, again, having worked as an advisor in Latin America, I've been fascinated watching the elections the last couple of months. Chile, where I lived for a year, just elected a conservative. Bolivia's got a conservative. Peru's got a conservative. Honduras is probably going to flip. You obviously had Milei in Argentina. So South American democracies usually run on a 20-year cycle. You have 20 years. Every 20 years, you'll have the left come in. And that cycle's ending. And if you look at all those countries I just mentioned, with the exception of Argentina, they all went through similar scenarios that, as we did in 2020. Lots of dissension, rioting on the streets. So it could be interesting. This could help prove some of Darsha's theories.
Well, again, I think a lot of when the dictators end up in, quote, power and authority, that in my opinion, it has been the Smartmatic election electronic devices all across the globe. Philippines had, I mean, literally threw Smartmatic out of their country. And those hearings are still going on in The Hague, I believe, where the electronic voting machines and Smartmatic in particular was able to manipulate the elections and have somebody else come into power. So we'll see how that goes in 2026.
Yeah. And, you know, there are a lot of articles. I've mentioned Hugo Carvajal, known as El Pollo. He was Venezuela's former military intel chief. He's in prison right now in the U.S., and he's apparently clucking like a chicken. But he's basically saying that, you know, they created Smartmatic in Venezuela to sway elections for leftists. So it'll be interesting to watch. All right, we got a couple minutes left, Darsha. What are your final thoughts on 2025 and wishes for 2026?
Well, I do have one more that probably is I'll say part of in the worst category, and that has just been that there hasn't been any apparent accountability for a lot of these things that we know in our heart has been going on the last many years. And we haven't seen, you know, why is no one going to jail? So there are a group of people that believe that some of these people have already been held accountable. But in 2026, I would like to see that people that we know have participated in the destruction of America and the United States as we know it.
John Solomon last night on Lars Larson was saying that the Clintons are going to be indicted sometime just before the 2026 elections.
Are they taking voice lessons and singing like a bird?
I don't know. I'm just thinking of all the, you know, people in orange jumpsuits that were in.
I don't want to end it on a bad note, it's really more that there has just been destruction of the foundation of the American and Western civilization. We've seen it across, you know, even UK being the censorship in UK, Australia, what's going on during COVID. And I say thank God for COVID, because so many people were able to wake up and see the light and see what was happening. So 2026, I hope for disclosure in the sense that all these things that we thought maybe something wasn't right, that it will come forward and that we will be able to have some truth and some accountability.
Well, my thoughts on 2026, I think it's going to be even better than 2025. I'm pretty confident that the Republicans can hold on to their slim majority and for once will not snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Republicans.
The national Republicans. Ultimately, I think what I'm looking forward to about 2026 is it is our 250th anniversary. Woo-hoo! And I hope Jubilee. That we help the next generation understand what a great country they're living in. So with that, we're back in January. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and thank you for listening to us every Friday. God bless. We'll be right back.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.